Chapter 3, we're going to be able to get through this very quickly, and just some general hints about negotiating. When possible, ask generic questions to get specific information. So instead of asking, how much did you pay for the house, I would ask, what were houses going for around 20 years ago? And people will say then the sentence, well, what we paid for our house was this. It's just a little uncomfortable to ask them that direct question. So if you ask a generic question, you'll get a pretty much an exact answer. How much did a couple have to put down when they bought a house in this area at that time? Well, we put down X amount of dollars. So it's very easy to get specific information by asking a generic question. If tension builds, go back to a place of agreement by saying, I apologize for going so quickly. We have agreed that. And then go back to your last place that you were, in fact, in agreement. Don't match the seller's concession dollar for dollar. When it's your turn, concede something small. For some reason, it'll feel like you took your turn. Now it's their turn. So don't, if they lower the price $10,000, I wouldn't say, well, now I can go up $10,000. I might be more inclined to offer a benefit rather than a price deduction, which is number four. Instead of raising your price, offer benefits, understanding, and solutions, and save the raising of your price for the very last. Number five, when using a multiple offer concept, try to establish a low price first, and if you get the benefit of seller financing in addition to the low price, then you may have many ways to profit. There's a form that we're going to go over where it literally has four or five options to make offers on the same page, to where you can do an all-cash offer, a subject-to offer, a carry-back offer, an option. And it's just very easy to explain to the seller what the different options are, and it's kind of multiple choice, and we let them decide which one they want. In the beginning of a negotiation, be patient. If the gap feels too wide, the person that's most nervous will close that gap. You have to be patient. Learn to respond to a question with a tie-down close. So if the seller says, can you close any sooner than 2 weeks? Your response, something like this, if we could close sooner, would that make our offer more acceptable? So you're always trying to get to the bottom line, get a yes answer for your offer. If you just answer that question with a yes, you haven't gained anything. Top of page 14, blame the marketplace for the low price. It takes away blame from you and places it on the economy and the property. In the upcoming economy that we're going to have, it will be in fact the truth. We cannot pay what that property is worth because prices will be descending and the inventory will be growing. And so we do need a margin of safety when we buy a property, that's for sure. If the seller is going to carry paper, put the interest to be paid in terms like this. Interest rate to be fixed at 1 year T-bill upon date of closing. Instead of just saying, I want you to carry back at a 4 or 5% interest rate. It sounds official, and it actually is official. If you're dealing with people in foreclosure, it's important to have an interest rate that's fair. Number 10, don't assume anything negotiated the night before is still agreed to the next day. This is one of the things that I see people that are not successful making, they make this mistake over and over again. They meet people and they get told that they're liked. We got a letter recently about a frustrated gentleman that's been doing mailers. He hasn't bought a house yet, but he has received hugs and gifts. Now, that's good, but the point is to buy a house. Do you realize he must have been this close to buying those houses, but he got diverted. Here's your avocados. Here's your hug. Close it. They like you. You're right there. Don't go to the car and come back tomorrow thinking you're at the same spot, because you're not. Sometimes you have to realize, this is my only chance. I'm going to take it the distance. I'm going to really take a risk here, and I'm going to try and close. You just have to realize that it's very unlikely you're going to have two chances to close that property. Once again, with the multiple offer concept, there probably are times where people go home and they consider all of the suggestions that you've made. You can follow up with phone calls, and experience will tell you which ones to close and which ones to allow to think about it. I'm always putting things up in the wrong spot. If you catch the seller in a falsehood, give them an easy way out. Let them save face and you may just buy the property. Embarrass them and you win the battle and lose the war. That happens sometimes with people when they tell you what they owe on the property. Sometimes I'm sure they know exactly what they owe on the property. Oh, I forgot about the second trust deed. I forgot about the judgment. I forgot about whatever. Give them an easy way out, because there's no point in trying to make them feel guilty about what they didn't tell you. You might as well let it slide, make it easy for them to let it go, and then you can maybe buy the property. Last one, never counter your own offer. With the multiple offer concept, the seller is going to have a number of choices to choose from, and so we're going to expect that one of those should be acceptable. You have to stick with the formulas that we've created because they're designed to make a certain amount of profit. And so stick with the formulas and don't counter your own offer. People say, well, that's not high enough. You don't want to be ramping up your price. You want to win the negotiation, so you don't want to start doing that.